The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does God lead a successful sports broadcaster from ESPN and HBO to a ministry that helps women overcome past and current dysfunction? This is the story of Lisa Burkhart Worley. A story of pain, success, fame, career change, faithfulness to God, and a life of deep satisfaction through Christ. Hey, we pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who knows you and loves you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how tough things might seem to be, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Lisa Burkhart Worley, is reaching out to you. Lisa Burkhart Worley is the founder of Pearls of Wisdom Ministries. She's a popular speaker and 10-time award-winning author of 10 books. She's the executive producer and co-host of a television and radio show, Pop Talk, with Dr. Lynette Sim and Rosemary Legrand. Lisa, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. I'm so excited to be a part of this. And Lonnie, it's just great to talk to you guys. I was recently in Hawaii, so this is interesting that I'm on a Hawaiian radio show right after my visit.
Well, you can now speak to us a little bit like a local, and that's good.
Yes, yes. I even got used to the time change.
Lisa, where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. I was there until I was about 17. Then I went off to college, and I actually worked in television in San Antonio for 12 years. So I came back and at two different times and worked at the CBS affiliate in San Antonio.
Who would you say, Lisa, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, in my growing up years, I'd have to say it was my friend's mother. I had a friend in high school who turned around in her chair with 5 minutes left to go in our English class, and she asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So she led me in a prayer. I said yes, and she led me in a prayer to receive Jesus. But after that, she didn't stop. She took me to church every Sunday, rain or shine. She'd pick me up at the apartment that we lived in, and she would take me to church. And I would spend all day with her family, and her mother would spend time with me. Her mother was a Sunday school teacher, and I would ask her a million questions about the faith. She was so patient with me. And I'd have to say, in those early years, she was the most influential in my life.
You talked about receiving Christ, saying a prayer to receive Christ. Could you take us, Lisa, on your spiritual journey? How did you come to know the Lord as you know him today?
Well, there were two steps for me, Danny, and sometimes that happens. My friend led me to Christ my freshman year. I went to church with her all through high school. But then I fell away. You see, I was a fatherless child. I grew up fatherless. My dad suffered a fatal heart attack 2 months before I was born. He was a doctor, and he was a polo player. And while he was playing polo, he had a heart attack, fell off his polo pony, and just died at the age of 39. I was born 2 months later. So I grew up in this dysfunctional world. My mother never recovered from that. She struggled with mental illness the rest of her life. And so I lived off and on with my grandparents, a lot of instability. So when I went to college after my friend led me to Christ, I was never going back to that situation. I was a runner. My mom became my biggest fear because I just feared being anything like her. And so I went into this crazy career for women of my day, sportscasting. And so I had a lot of success. As you mentioned, I was on ESPN for a short time, but for 3 years I was on HBO Sports on a show called Inside the NFL. I worked in New York City, which, as you know, being a media person, is the top market in the United States. And so I worked there for several years. But one day, the bottom dropped out of my life. I was at the top of my career when I lost both of my jobs in the same week. I wasn't renewed on my contracts. We work off of contracts. You can be pretty good at what you do, but you can still not get renewed. And so I was devastated, and I went from six figures to zero overnight, and I didn't know if I'd ever work again. But it was during that time that I went back to my faith. I started attending a church. And at that church, I began doing Bible study, and I began to pray. I'd really never done Bible study before, but what I did is I developed a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believed before, but now what I ended up doing is surrendering my life to Christ. And that truly was the turning point for me. God told me that he had given me a national platform to glorify him, and I didn't do it. So he said he had to take it away from me to get my attention. So that day, I just said, if you give me another shot at sportscasting, not only will I give you my career, I'll give you my life. And you wouldn't believe it, but the next week, that's when I got the call from ESPN asking if I wanted to do some freelance reporting for them. And I've got to believe is that the Lord heard my heart. He gave me another opportunity, but he was changing me. Sportscasting started to pale in comparison to knowing him. And that was a turning point of my life.
Lisa, in light of the change, in light of your relationship that developed, the relationship that you have with the Lord now that started at that point with the career change, if we can take a step or two back, what lessons did you learn from your work at ESPN and HBO Sports and even Madison Square Garden?
Wow. Well, as I look back, one of the things I could never get used to when I was at the top of my game was this adoration that came with it. People were just so starstruck by somebody who was in that type of position. And I just never, even in San Antonio when I worked there, there were a lot of people who wanted my autograph and who would stop me in the grocery store and that kind of thing. And I never really got used to that. And I realize now that we should never put anyone, whether they're a celebrity or not, we should never put them on a pedestal. Only God should be on the pedestal. And I was so thankful that I never really got used to that. And one of the other things that I realized as I was interviewing these athletes was the ones that made the most impression on me, the greatest impression on me, they were the ones who were kind, mm-hmm. and many of them were believers, and they treated us respectfully, they weren't distant. And so I look back on all those days of interviewing people with the Spurs or whether it was the NFL teams or whatever I was doing, the ones that were the kindest and were the most humble were the ones that made the impact on me. And I learned from that because I never want to treat anyone less than myself. I went through that a lot as a child. I was treated a little bit less than because I didn't have what some of the others had. And so I actually made that decision back then that I would never treat anybody differently than myself.
In 2019, Lisa, your book, The Only Father I Ever Knew, How a Fatherless Child Found True Love. Share a little bit about the inspiration of that book.
Yes. I started writing that book when I was in television back in San Antonio, and I just could not finish it. I got about 70 to 80 pages along, and it was like I had writer's block. I just couldn't get it done. And I know now that it's because I had to have more intimacy with my Heavenly Father. I had to learn more about Him before I could write about His attributes. And it took many years, as you said, I wrote it many years later after I had started it. And so because I was a fatherless girl all my life, and because I came to a knowledge of God as Father, about how much God loves us as Father and how much He loves His children. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows, is what the Word says, in His holy dwelling. I wanted other people to understand His Father-like attributes. So I came up with all the attributes that were meaningful to me in my life, and then I also asked 16 other people who had been fatherless and who had an experience with God as Father to contribute their stories as well. Of course, the book contains lots of scripture about God being a Father. And so this book was really my heart. It's got my story, and it's really a love story, the love story that I experienced with God over the years and how we've grown closer since that day He introduced Himself to me.
You're listening to Lisa Burkhart Worley. She's talking about her book, The Only Father I Ever Knew, How a Fatherless Child Found True Love. You can find out more about this book. Get a hold of this book. Find out more about Lisa and her ministry at pearlsofpromiseministries.com. Again, pearlsofpromiseministries.com. We'll be back with more from Lisa Burkhart Worley. It's a real blessing to have someone share out of their heart, out of their life, as Lisa shares. And I believe it has a way of touching you, perhaps in a way you haven't felt touched before in your heart, perhaps at a timely moment like this. Well, it's the Lord working through her. By His Spirit of love and grace to you, dear friends. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
Lisa
guests.
Lisa Burkhart Worley's award-winning book, To Help the Fatherless, The Only Father I Ever Knew, How a Fatherless Child Finally Found True Love, where she writes about God's capacity to nurture countless children. A larger family than I will ever meet, she says. But not all of his sons and daughters understand that Abba wants to be the father we never had. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a. Thank you for joining us today, Lisa Burkhart Worley. Thanks for being with us.
Lisa, it was so good to meet you at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this year. Really a privilege of mine to hear you speak as well. I'm so intrigued by the title of your book. I was blessed to have a father most of my life until I was in my late 40s. And so I am curious, what lessons or what did God begin to teach you about? Maybe what were you missing without a father? What does God the Father represent to the fatherless?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm giving a message that I'm preparing for right now. And the question you're asking is exactly what the message is about. What fatherless girls need. I'm going to be speaking in Honey Creek, Wisconsin, to a fatherless summit in September. And so I've been coming up with a list of what we need. But one of the major things is self-worth. Mm. You know, when you don't, a father speaks into a girl's life and a boy's life. And so what you find with fatherless girls is that we don't have the highest of self-esteem. And we don't have a lot of confidence. And I'm talking about myself. Yes, I made it in sports casting and, you know, climb the ladder and all that. But that doesn't mean I was totally confident the entire time or that I felt good about the way I looked. And so here's the thing. God says we are his beautiful masterpiece, piece of art for him. Yeah. He loves us so much. And we are the apple of his eye. And so when you know the word, and you spend time with him in the word, you're going to receive some of those things that you need for your self-esteem. I've come a long way on self-esteem, although I still have my days. But self-esteem is so important. And for those who are listening who may know someone who is fatherless, mm-hmm. a child, maybe it's a friend of your child's or something, speak into their lives. Mm-hmm. Ask God to show you their attributes, their strengths, mm-hmm. and tell them how great they are at whatever it is they do, whether they're an athlete or whether they're smart or whatever it is, because I didn't have a lot of people speaking into my life like that. It is really a miracle, honestly, that I achieved what I achieved, because I did not have a lot of confidence, and that is really one of the things that fatherless girls lack. They also lack love. Mm. Fatherless girls have a tendency to get into trouble physically with boys, or you're always seeking love from someone. You just want to fill that void in your heart, and I was guilty even though I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in high school, in college, I kind of fell away from the faith, and I was I discovered boys, and I began dating, and unfortunately, you don't, especially if you don't have any direction whatsoever in that area, you don't know. You think, well, you know, for the boy to love you, you've got to do things that are really wrong, mm-hmm. and so I regret all those days. And I realized later when I did rededicate my life to Christ that only God can fill that void that an absentee father left. Only God can do it. Mm-hmm. Boys can't do it. Drugs can't do it. Popularity can't do it. Whatever it is, money can't do it. You find so many people that have a lot of money that still have father wounds. Mm-hmm. And so those were a couple of the main things that, as I was thinking through this, that girls really lack when it comes to being fatherless. Mm-hmm. It's those two things. They lack self-esteem, and they really desire to be loved.
Mm-hmm. To me, it seems that you're, not only for yourself, but for many other young women, you're kind of answering the question, if I knew then what I know now, I would, you know, this is what I would speak, this is how I would. What other pieces of thought or advice would you give, not only yourself in high school, but other high schoolers about their future and about the importance of that father figure?
Well, it's so important to connect with God the Father. So important. And all people who know Jesus, friends who know Jesus, you know, my friend reached out to me. I think she really saved me from making some really bad mistakes in high school. But I think lead teachers and Sunday school teachers, high school leaders who are Christian, I know you can't really these days say anything about God, but you can pinpoint who that girl is or that boy is. You probably know something about their family background. I have a friend who wrote a book, and he talks about this girl that was in a sixth grade Sunday school class, and she was annoying, he said. always asked a ton of questions. I mean, she wasn't the one that warmed your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he took an interest in her. She was very athletic, and he had been an athlete. And so he would go to her games and cheer for her mm-hmm. when her own family wouldn't do that. I understand that, because when I was in high school, I played basketball and volleyball, and my mother was never at my games. Mm-hmm. And so I understand what it feels like and how nice it is to have somebody cheering for you. Mm-hmm. So I think if I could, you know, just instruct people that are in contact with a fatherless girl, take an interest in them. It might take a little time, but find out if they don't have anybody watching over them or mm-hmm. cheering for them or being at their games or talking to them about just things in life that they need to get through. Take the time. And so if I had to look back, I wish I would have had more of that kind of thing. And maybe I should have, instead of being so closed in, should have reached out to people and shared about my life honestly. Because I didn't really do that. It was kind of a reflective thing for me. I looked back and I thought, you know, that wasn't normal, was it? And so then it's that you heal. I have a theory about this, and one of the other reasons I wrote the book is that I feel like women start healing in their 40s. Mm-hmm. they raise their families. They, you know, they get through life. They charge, and, you know, do their work thing and move up the ladder, all that kind of stuff. But in their 40s, maybe when the kids don't need them as much anymore, you start reflecting on your life. And that's really what happened to me. I began a healing process in my 40s. And so the book is really designed to help people before that, to really mm-hmm. help girls and boys to overcome this wound that they have felt for so many years.
Mm-hmm. I almost resonate with what you say, Lisa, about the healing in our 40s, you know, that reflective type of healing. And yet, you know, the word is so clear, and we have a part to play as we grow older in helping the younger generation by being mentors and being available to those who need somebody to listen, somebody to cheer for them. Shucks, I can even relate to what you said about, you know, family not coming to watch you play a volleyball game. Even today, I tend to have not thought about, gee, I could go to watch a volleyball game to my, you know, my friend's daughter or someone I know who doesn't have someone in the audience cheering them on, listening to them, telling them they're somebody, that they're special, that they're beautifully and wonderfully made, everything that God would like to say to them. We truly are the hands and feet and the voice of the Lord to so many of our young women today. And I'm totally blessed by you know, what you are doing. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about maybe turning the corner a little bit. You went through your experience and your time in your very public career. What moved you away from that career into one of ministry?
Well, I have to tell you the story about my mother. You know, that's really was a part of my turning point. Mm. I had mentioned earlier that I had lost my jobs, and then I rededicated my life to Christ, and that's when the job with ESPN came along. Mm. But then I had an offer to go back to San Antonio, which is my hometown, I didn't know what to do because here I was working for ESPN, then I had this job to offer to go back to San Antonio to the CBS affiliate, and the old Lisa would have never gone back. But the new Lisa said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And what came to me was that if I was meant to go to San Antonio, I would not be offered an anchoring position at ESPN, which was my career goal. Mm. And so I told them that I had this offer, and they fought it over for about a week, and they brought me back into the office and said, you know, Lisa, we cannot offer you a full-time anchoring position here at ESPN, but we can offer you a full-time reporting position here at ESPN. And so I looked them square in the eyes, and I said, I'm going to have to turn you down, because I knew what I had to do. And so I went back home, but here's the thing, home meant an encounter with my mother. By that time, remember, my mother struggled after my dad's death, and she had all sorts of problems. She was on a ton of prescription meds. She was later diagnosed with, you know, bipolar disorder, and by the time I came back home, she was in a group home. And so I believe that God brought me back to San Antonio to honor my mother for the first time in my life. And so honoring my mother meant going to see her on a regular basis at the group home, caring for her needs. If she needed money, I'd give her money. I began to, because of this newfound faith, very rich faith now, the Lord began to show me my mom through his eyes. And I realized how difficult it must have been for her to watch her beloved husband of only a year or so drop dead in front of her eyes. And her dreams, the American dream, just flew out the window. And so I thought, what would I have done? How would I have handled something like that? So I began to have empathy for my mom. Mm-hmm. And I began to love my mom unconditionally, because she was unable to give me any love back. I came to the point, Lonnie, where I wanted to do just whatever my mom needed. I wanted to take care of her. And one day she called me up and she said, Lisa, I need a pair of shoes. And so I said, Mom, I want to get you those shoes. And so I was still in television, and I raced out at my lunch hour, and I felt an urgency to get her the shoes. And what I didn't realize at the time is that God was saying, time is short, Lisa, because before I could get her the shoes, she suffered a massive heart attack, and she ended up in the hospital in a coma for the last week of her life. And it was during that week of her life, that last week, I was at her bedside every day, and I was stroking her hair and just telling her how much I dearly loved her. Mm. And after she passed, Lonnie, what I know is that the Lord spoke in my ear, and he said, Lisa, now you understand what my unconditional love is all about. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy to love the lovable, but it's not so easy to love the unlovable. But God says, love your enemies.
Yeah.
That was Jesus' words. Love your enemies. And so it wasn't until I forgave my mother for the years of abandonment, emotional abandonment, and neglect, and this, you know, this very difficult life of poverty, basically. It wasn't until I was able to forgive her and love her and see her through God's eyes that God could use me in any form of ministry.
Amen.
And that was when he began to call me. Mm. He called me out of television. I did a little PR job for about 5 years. I was a spokeswoman for the airport in San Antonio. And he then began to call me out to seminary. And so I started going to seminary. We knew it was of the Lord. There's just so many repeat messages about it. And then I got my seminary degree, and then God moved us to Dallas, where I had to finish seminary, of all things. I mean, he moved us so that I could finish seminary here. I mean, but it was really for my husband's job. And then this idea for this ministry called Pearls of Promise,
Lisa,
came about.
I want to hear this more, but I want you to have some time to talk about Pearls of Ministry. We're going to need to take a quick break,
okay,
Lisa.
Okay, sure.
But thank you for that powerful testimony of coming back to your mom. And as you were speaking, what I see and what I felt is the Lord healed two hearts and now heals many more through the experience, but also the obedience of your heart as you were pulled away from your mom and family. I know she must have hurt through that time too. I know she must have had regret through that time too. Loss and pain combined with the loss of her husband was the loss of a relationship with a daughter. But as he took you through the journey that he watched you through and wooed you back to his side and brought you back into obedience in the word and taught you about his heart, the Father's heart, you learned how to have the heart of an unconditional, loving person of faith. And then you could return to the family that he brought you into to bring that heart back to your mom. And how precious it was that you made those choices of obedience to lead you back to where he needed to reach your mom through only you. So I thank you for the obedience that took you through the journey. I thank you that you were obedient to the Lord, and praise God for his mercy in every step of the way, because I know the journey was not a smooth one. But you redeemed your mother's love, the softness of her heart. And in that, he birthed your heart for ministry. We're with Lisa Burkhart Worley. We'll listen to about her ministry when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a in studio with Danny Yamashiro. Lisa Burkhart Worley spent almost 20 years in sports television. You may be familiar with her name. She was a national sports reporter for HBO Sports and for ESPN. She was also a sports anchor at the Madison Square Garden Network, then worked in San Antonio, Texas and Chattanooga, Tennessee. This entire time, Lisa's been sharing just her love, both of what she did, but more importantly, the love of the Father's heart that he taught her as she journeyed through this time in her career, only to return to give that Father's love back to her mother before her mother passed, and loving her mother, forgiving her mother. Is that not what we're all called to be? Is lovers of the Lord and givers of unconditional love to those around us, especially those in our family and those that are hurting. Through that, I believe, Lisa, that God can do just about anything through us who want to take that step of obedience. I know you were talking about the beginnings of your ministry when we took a break, and what inspired you to leave that incredible career and begin that ministry?
Well, I was in seminary, and I realized that it was just impossible for me to juggle a seminary, being a mom, I had two boys, and being a wife. And so I ended up quitting full-time work for the first time in 24 years and just focused on ministry. Mm-hmm. But it was after ministry that I actually led women's ministry, or after the seminary, I led women's ministry at our church for about 4 years. And that was really an opportunity to understand women and mm-hmm. to put together programs for women and to be in more of a structured environment. But after those 4 years, I felt God pulling me out of the church, outside the church, to start this ministry, Pearls of Promise. And he gave me the name. Mm-hmm. The name Pearls are formed after 10 to 12 years of irritation in an oyster shell. I mean, it's just that gritty mm-hmm. sand that forms that beautiful pearl. And just as that happens, God can take all of the years of dysfunction and trials and difficulties, and he can make something beautiful out of those as well. And that's what we believe at Pearls of Promise. You know, and then there's another thing about the name I've got to tell you, Lonnie. Mm-hmm. The initials spell pop, and we use pop a lot, pop talk, pop ministries. And one day I was in my bathroom at home, I was getting ready for a Bible study, I think, and I was getting ready, and it, I don't know why it had not occurred to me, but pop, what's it another name for?
Father.
Dad. Father. And I mean, I didn't realize that when he'd given me the name. And I just realized, oh my goodness, Lord, Father, you've given me this ministry, and it's really dedicated to you mm-hmm. and your work. So it started out just as blogs and books. We started out with a devotional book, and then, of course, we had before The Only Father I Ever Knew came out, we did a book to help women with insecurity. Started as a Bible study that I created and taught, and it's called If I Only Had. Deals with all the if-onlys we have in life, and then the father book came along. We did a children's book. Anyway, we just produced books. Mm. But then the Lord brought me back to media, I said when I left television in 1999 that I would never go back to media. I didn't need to go back. I did enough of it. But God began to just speak to me about it through other people, and people were asking me, why aren't you doing television? Why aren't you doing something? And so finally I said, well, I'll do some radio. And we created this radio podcast, I guess you'd call it. And I did that with another person for about 5 years. And then that television thing started creeping in again. And I finally said, all right. I said, we'll try to do this. We'll do a topical show. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it grew. And we've got about six platforms now. And it's topical and evangelical, but really with an undercurrent of trying to help people overcome, to be stronger in the faith, mm-hmm. to heal. And of course, that we drop in that gospel message many times. Because I am an evangelist, because I want people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because someone evangelized me. And I don't know where I'd be without that.
Wow.
Lisa, talk a little bit more about Pop Talk Radio, Pop Talk Television. Share maybe a little bit about your co-hosts and take us further.
Okay, sure. Well, let me just tell you how it started. Because I was just being obedient to this call of God, we started shooting this on my phone, and we began the television. And I remember the first show that we ever did, I accidentally shot it sideways. And so people that watched it on, we started with, you know, putting it on Facebook, and people that watched it on Facebook had to watch it sideways. And so that was a very humble beginning.
So some people had sore necks after watching that first broadcast.
Trying to watch the show.
Massage me here, please.
All of us now. Yes. It's a joke for all of us, though, because we will, you know, you should never forget humble beginnings. And the people that ended up on the program were with the ministry, not to begin with, but they came alongside me later. Rosemary LeGrand, for example, is someone who has another ministry that reaches Christian authors, and they do an award ceremony, and I was one of the award winners, and I met her that way, and I began telling her how I needed somebody part-time, and I gave her the description of the job, and she goes, I'll take it. And I went, wait a second, I haven't even interviewed you. But that's how she ended up with Pearls of Promise. And so I brought her along, and she's doing the TV show with us. And Lynette, I felt like God pointed her out. She's a woman that has overcome sexual abuse from her stepfather, and she's on the other side of that. And Rosemary, by the way, has overcome depression and fatherlessness. And so our team members, one of the qualifications has to be, you've been through something mm-hmm. that people can relate to, and you have overcome. They've come to the other side because of the help of God the Father in their lives, and the truth has set them free. Amen.
I think we need to talk about some of more of your books, and we'll
okay,
do that
sure.
when we come back from our break. You talk about overcoming coming
yes.
through on the other side, and you seem to embody that, mm-hmm. Lisa. And so when we come back, let's talk more about overcoming. Let's talk more about, by the way, that's one way to get a job is to accept the job before it was even offered. So you're listening to Lisa Burkhart Worley. PearlsOfPromiseMinistries.com. That's how you can find out more about their incredible ministry that's reaching so many women and bringing healing. God's vessel of healing and hope. Pearls of Promise Ministries. We have the founder of that ministry with us today, Lisa Burkhart Worley. And we'll share more heart to heart with you, more books, more outreach. You know, she's an evangelist. She'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Lisa Burkhart Worley has used her media skills, not only her communication skills, not only her stage presence, her ability to interview, but she's also one who's written, and she loves writing. She loves incorporating stories of others, getting other writers to be compiled in some of her works, but always touching the heart of brokenness with hope and healing that she's found and others have found through Jesus Christ. One of her books, 2018, published in 2018, is called The Root That Never Died, A Woman's Journey Back to Her Hebraic Roots. You can get this book, by the way, at pearlsofpromiseministries.com. Lisa, share more with us about this book. What does it mean to you, and why did you write it?
This is a very interesting book. It's very different from the genre of books that I have written in the past. My father, who died before I was born, was Jewish, so I didn't grow up with any kind of a celebration of the festivals, the feasts, or any kind of Jewish influence. However, God kept this Jewishness for me all my life. My grandmother, even who helped raise me, called me her little Jew baby, and so I remember working my first television job in Chattanooga, and the two rabbis in the area both called me up separately and invited me to synagogue. And I thought, why? I can't believe people just know I'm Jewish. So anyway, I really didn't think I was Jewish because it went through my father and not my mother. But there came a point where I just felt like I needed to go to Israel. I wanted to go to this place where my ancestors had lived, and it's such a special place to the Lord. And God provided an opportunity for half price to go. And I was told I had a message there. And so I went just wanting to hear what God had to say to me. So I got there, and my message was, my Jewish father died, but my Jewish roots never died. And I thought, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to take Hebrew? Am I supposed to go to a synagogue? What am I supposed to do with that? Well, I didn't have the answer for about 2 years, but then God led me to a church that has a Jewish ministry that I'm very involved in. They have a once-a-month Shabbat service, and now I'm working on a Doctor of Ministry in Messianic Studies, all because of this word. And so God has brought, it's usually the other way around. Jewish people find Yeshua, the Savior of the world. It usually doesn't work this way, where a Christian woman who's Jewish comes back to her Jewish roots. And that's what's been happening to me. And this is like the curveball that God has thrown me recently, and I'm still waiting to see where all this goes. But right now I'm just learning about this heritage of mine, and part of that is in this book, and it is designed to reach people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, with the truth about the Jewish Messiah. And we have many other stories besides my own in there of Jewish people who have had an encounter with Jesus Christ.
So good. So interesting. I feel, Lisa, that this is intentional, that, you know, there is a time and a season for all things. And this, you know, new direction that you are taking has a purpose. And what do you believe that the Lord is doing through this, through using you to return to your roots and then, you know, sharing that? God looks down and says, I need a communicator of a important message. There's Lisa. What is the Lord doing through you to those that are coming back to their Jewish heritage?
Well, first of all, I want to educate Gentiles. I want to educate Gentiles about the Jewish roots of Christianity. There are a lot of people that think that all that ended, the Old Testament was old and the New Testament is where we're at, that there's not a thread that runs through both the Old and New Testament. Mm-hmm. Jesus was Jewish. His disciples were Jewish. And so what I would like to educate people about is the fact that there is a Jewish history to the Messiah, and we are, as Gentiles, we're grafted into mm-hmm. the body of Christ. And we go, it's to the Jew first. We go, and so I want to teach people about that. And I'm also, I also want to fight anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. I'm about to take a class this fall in that, and that just, it pains me because it goes back to treating people differently, mm-hmm. which is really a thorn in my, I don't want people to be treated differently. And so, and including my Jewish brothers and sisters. And so if there's something I can do to prevent that, I will do it. So I want people to know Yeshua. I want my Jewish friends to know Yeshua. And that's why I wrote that book in the first place, for one of my dear Jewish sisters. Mm. So that is my heart. But there's several other things I think God has been speaking to me about that I want to do with all that I'm learning.
Mm. So good. Lisa, you know, what resounds in this entire interview again is the Lord gave you gifts from long before you were born. He knew what He had planned for your life. And sometimes we take those gifts and we go into the world and do what we believe we're good at in the world. And you were so successful in media because the Lord gave you this gift of communication. And today the Lord has led you back to be able to use that very gift that He gave you for His message, for His glory, for the body of Christ. What future vision do you have? I know you wrote this book in 2018. What has God placed on your heart going forward with the ministry and in your life?
Well, we're talking about growing the television show. Right now we're on online platforms. And, of course, my heart is to reach more people. So we're discussing maybe going on a network of some sort, a broadcast network. But that takes money. And so we are just praying about how to do that and if we are supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. So I see the television show growing. But mm-hmm. I also feel like this new direction with Jewish mm-hmm. ministries, I'm wondering where that's leading, and so I wonder if there'll be more books. I do have another book that is that I've been writing, and it's to help children or adults who had broken mothers.
Mm.
You see, I have talked about being fatherless, but I haven't talked about how we can have a heart for our broken mothers. And so that's probably the next book I'll be writing.
Lisa, we have about a minute left. Would you pray for our listeners, especially those that might be in that broken situation?
Father, I just thank you and praise you for those who are listening. There's no coincidence in life. You have people listening who are supposed to hear this message. Mm. So, Father, if there is any brokenness in anyone's life, and I'm sure there is, Father, I pray that you will show them how you are still a healer and that you mend the broken hearts and you heal the broken hearts. And you can heal any difficult situation that can happen in our lives, Father. You love to work good out of the bad, as Romans 8:28 promises. So, Father, right now, I just pray for those who are hurting, who may be crying at this time, who may have that father wound of a father who abandoned them or who died. Father, I just pray that you'll fill their hearts. I pray that you'll fill that void that may have been left by a father that is no longer there. And so, Lord, I just pray for these people. I thank you for them. And I pray, Father, that you'll give them the strength that they don't have on their own, but that we can have through Christ who strengthens us. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lisa, for being with us, sharing your heart as you have. We're grateful for you.
Thank you so much. It's been a beautiful time, and it's great to get to know you both.
Hope-filled words from Lisa Burkhart Worley, pearlsofpromiseministries.com. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special video set up for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers to support our work, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click donate. Philippians 3 verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Lisa Burkhart Worley, pearlsofpromiseministries.com. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.